Bible college in homiletics class, they made us preach 10-minute or shorter sermons, so it's a good thing I learned how to do that in Bible college, although I don't know how effective their training was. But Deuteronomy chapter number 30, and I will try to keep it as close to 10 minutes as possible. That's the time we have left. And I just want to share a quick challenge and just quick thoughts and from God's word tonight with you that I've learned personally in my own life, but that, as they said, he never preached on this passage specifically during the week of camp, but God was just bringing this back to my memory kind of throughout the week. And even this morning, as Pastor was preaching about the Bible, God just kept bringing my heart back to this passage. And I wasn't planning on preaching tonight. I was just thinking about this passage while I was sitting over there, and Pastor texted me this afternoon, and he said, you got the whole night. And I said, so does that mean I'm preaching too? And he said, yep. And so I said, okay. And so Deuteronomy chapter number 30, and we'll begin in verse number 15. But as you're turning there, I wonder if you were to have the choice tonight between life or death, if a terrorist or somebody were to come in and say you can choose life or you can choose death, and you had that opportunity to choose that, I wonder what you would choose. I don't think I have to wonder too hard. I think most of us would choose life. I don't know very many people, if any at all, that just are anxious to die. I think most people are ready to live, and no one wants to die. We all want to live. We want to live a long life. I know I do. I want to live a full life. I want to have kids. I want to have grandkids. I want to enjoy the things that God made and given, in the life that God's given me. But what would you say if I told you that on a regular basis, each and every one of us in this room chooses death over life? The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse number 15, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it." Verse 19 says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, and that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." For centuries, mankind has searched or longed for a fountain that could grant eternal life. There's legends have sprung up in movies and books all over the world of the elusive fountain of life, and explorers for centuries have searched for that fountain, eager to find a remedy to diseases, to find a remedy to death, to be able to prolong life, but they've never found it. And the reason they've never found it is because it does not exist. To be sure, water has a lot of good properties. You ought to drink water. It's good for your body. You ought to drink more than just soda or sweet tea on a regular basis. And you ought to have water because water has some healing properties. It has some benefits to it. And you can even go to through the Bible and you can read of examples where men and women went down to the water and were healed of certain diseases. You go to, for example, you go to 2 Kings chapter number 5, and we read of a man named Naaman who had the incurable disease of leprosy. It was a disease not like cancer, but much like cancer in the fact that it was a death sentence and that there was no cure for it. And this man, Naaman, had this incurable disease of leprosy, and he was told by the prophet Elisha to go and dip into Jordan River 7 times. And after a little bit of battling and back and forth, he finally decided to go to the Jordan River, and he dipped 7 times. And the Bible says that on the 7th time, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You go over to the New Testament and you find in the book of John, John chapter number 5 specifically, that there were people waiting at by the pool of Bethesda for the angel to come and to trouble the waters. And if they could make it into the waters first, that whatever disease, whatever ailment they had, they would be cured of it. But I want to say tonight that while many in our society may point to stories like these and to examples like these to prove that there is a such thing as a fountain of youth and that water is beneficial, I want to remind you this evening that these men and women were not healed by the water. Yes, Naaman was healed by going into the Jordan River, and people were healed at the pool of Bethesda, but they were not healed by the water. They were not granted life by the water. They were healed and granted life by the only one who can give life, and that is God. Here in our text tonight, in verse number 19, God is speaking to the nation of Israel, but it's applicable to us tonight, and he says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, and that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. And then he says this, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. The only one that can grant life is God. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said again in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I want you to notice with me tonight that if you are going to choose life, if you're going to experience life to the fullest or life in the way that you were always meant to experience, what that's going to take, choosing life means choosing Jesus Christ. You cannot have life without Jesus. He is the author of life. He is the creator of life. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There are many today that are searching for life. They're searching for a happy life, an abundant life, the life that only Christ offers, but they're searching for it in so many other things besides Jesus Christ. People search for it in drugs. People search for it in riches. Rylan was talking about Solomon. Solomon searched for all these things in women and in riches and in wisdom and in all that he could do and all the things the world had to offer. He searched for life, but yet he found no life in it because life only comes through Jesus Christ. Eternal life, a joy-filled life, a full life comes only through Jesus and not just through Jesus, but through obedience to his commandments and his laws. And I find this very important, but the Bible says in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter number 30, See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. God says, I've set before you a choice. You can have life and you can have good, or you can have death and you can have evil. And then he says, this is how you know I've commanded it. He says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. If you want to have experience life tonight, you must love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. God says, if you want to have life, you must love me. And then he goes a step further and he says, not only do you need to love the Lord thy God, but he says, but to walk in his ways. And to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess. And then he says in verse 17, but if thy thine heart be turned away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go and to possess it. Pastor, this morning, brought a message on the Bible. And he declared unto us truthfully that this book is the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It's perfectly preserved and will stand forever. It will always be. But yet, so many times as Christians, and we nod our head in agreement and we say, yes, this is God's Word. Yes, I believe everything in there. Not just the red words, but even the black words. All the words in this book are God's words to me, but yet then we turn around and we don't obey them. We don't live them. We pick and choose and we like this part and we don't like this part, but God's saying, no, hey, if you want life, not only do you need to choose Jesus Christ, not only do you need to accept the Son, but you must walk in His ways and you must obey His commandments and His statutes and His voice and follow Him. As children, we used to sing the song, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. And I think at times we can fall into the trap of thinking that obedience only applies to children. Obey your parents. Do what's right. Obey your teacher. Obey the pastor. But then we get older and it's, well, I can make up my own rules now. I can do what I want, but I want to remind you this evening that obedience applies to all of us. Choosing life means choosing to obey God's word. James put it this way. He said, don't just be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of God's word. And we need a church, we need a generation of Christians who won't just hear the words, who won't just nod in agreement and say, yes, yes, I understand that. I'm in agreement with you, but will turn around and walk out their doors and walk in the ways in which they've learned, to continue in those ways. Obedience is central to the Christian life. It's the key to unlocking life to the fullest. And from Adam and Eve until now, God has been eagerly blessing those who obey Him and warning those who disobey Him. You read in Genesis chapter number 1, and the very beginning of Genesis, after creation, God created Adam and Eve, and we find in Genesis chapter number 3, Adam and Eve disobeying God. They could have any tree they wanted except for one. They could have any fruit they wanted except for one. And the devil comes in his deceptions and his subtleties, and he convinces them that they're missing out, and he convinces them that God's commandments are not for their good, that God's trying to hold them back, and so Adam and Eve disobey God. And they take of the fruit that they were not permitted to eat. And the Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Because one couple decided to disobey God, the entire world, us included, have been suffering ever since. Death entered into the world. Pain entered into the world. Suffering entered into the world because of one man's disobedience. But the Bible then tells us that Jesus obeyed God when He came to earth and died on a cross for our sins. And Romans 5:19 goes on to say that as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Abraham, the Bible tells us, obeyed God. Abraham was a man who left his home country, who left his family behind for an undisclosed location in the future. And Abraham obeyed God once again when he was willing to sacrifice his son on an altar. And because of that, because Abraham was willing to obey God and to obey His commandments, God promised him a land. And God promised him a people that could not be numbered, and He promised him blessing. But then we go on a little farther when we find the prophet Jonah disobeying God. Not wanting to obey His commandments, not wanting to go where He told him to go, and running from God, going in the opposite direction, and because of his disobedience, he ended up being swallowed by a whale. King Saul disobeyed God, and he thought he was doing right. He said, I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord. I'm going to make an offering unto the Lord. But God had told him to, to kill every animal and not to spare anyone. And he disobeyed God, trying to do the right thing, but he disobeyed God in the process. And the Bible says because of that disobedience, Saul lost his kingdom, he lost his life, he lost his family, he lost it all. God is very clear that there are blessings for those who obey, and there are cursings and punishment for those who disobey. And if we want to experience the blessings of God, if we want to experience the life that God offers and promises us through his Son, we must be willing to obey him. Jesus said in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Can I ask you, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that the words in this book are life? That they have the power to breathe life into your life, to breathe life into your family, to breathe life into your soul? So the psalmist said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." He, the man that meditates on God's word, the man that is in God's word constantly, the Bible says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I just wanted to challenge you tonight. We only had a few moments, but God lays out very clearly in Scripture, you have two choices in life. You can obey him, and you can reap the benefits. You can reap the blessings, and that doesn't mean that you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. It doesn't mean that he's going to make you rich and give you a fancy car or a home. Sometimes he's going to lead you through trials. Sometimes there's going to be trouble, but there is blessings and benefits to serving God. Ryland talked about Joseph, and Joseph served God, and things went bad. I mean, they just kept getting worse and worse, but yet at the end of the day, the Lord made everything work out for good. And I can tell you today, things may look bad, but if you're serving God, they're only going to get better in the end. "I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God wants what's best for you, and God says, you got two choices. You can obey me, you can follow me, you can let me guide you, and I'll work it all out, or you can do it your way. And you can sin, and you can walk the path that the devil has for you, but there will be consequences to that sin, for the wages of sin is death. Ultimately, we're all going to die, and that's because we're all sinners. But you know, death has other connotations too. There can be death to your relationships, death to your finances, death to your peace, death to your security in living a life of sin. But when you live for God, when you follow him, there is a peace, there is a security, there is an understanding that no matter what's happening in the world around me, no matter who's in the White House or what wars are raging, I told the teens this morning, no matter what's going on in the world, I can have confidence and I can have hope and I can have peace because my God's on the throne, and he says that whoever lives for him and whoever obeys him, he will keep and he will hold and he will guide and he will not never leave you nor forsake you. I'll close with this. In John chapter number 10, in verse number 10, Jesus is speaking and he says, the thief, and he's talking about the devil, but he says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And maybe I need to remind some of you tonight that the temptations you're struggling with are meant to deceive and to kill and to destroy you. He'll promise you happiness, but he'll leave you empty. But Jesus says, "I have come that ye may have life and that ye might have it more abundantly." You want to experience the abundant life of Jesus? You want to experience life to the fullest? So many in the world say, just live life to the fullest. Well, living life to the fullest is living life according to this book. You'll never go wrong. You'll never regret trusting God. Don't just come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and just hear the words, but apply them to your life. It does you no good to sit and hear pastor preach day or week after week and year after year if you never apply it. You can listen to as many messages as you want. You can read your Bible as much as you want when you go home. But if you don't apply it to your life, if you don't obey it, it's not profiting you at all. It's as if I were to walk and see my face in the mirror, see my hair messed up, and just walk out and not care. But if you let it change you, if you see a verse and it convicts you and God cuts you in the heart and says, hey, you need to get that right, and you apply it and you obey it, your life becomes fuller and sweeter. Can I encourage you tonight, don't just be a hearer of the Word of God. Be a doer. Let God's Word live in you. Let the words of your lips and the meditation of your heart be on God's Word always. Be acceptable in the sight of God. And I promise you'll never regret that. I'll have Miss Gwen come. Pastor will come. It's not really an invitation. It's more of a just thought to consider tonight.